I'm going to just take a couple minutes here just to talk about our Sunday school lessons that we just had. One of the keys of understanding those lessons is understanding that Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven. He's talking to the Jews. The Jews would not say the name God. It was too sacred in their mind. They wouldn't say it. And so Matthew writes to them using the kingdom of heaven. Luke says the same words, repeats the same thoughts, and he uses the kingdom of God. So they're synonymous, but Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is laying out the kingdom principles. Another interesting thing, and it helped me to clarify our lesson today in particular. In your Bible, it's not in our lesson material, but in your Bibles, at certain verses, there's a little symbol. It looks like a backwards P. Okay? And it denotes a paragraph. So in our lesson today, we're actually, I forget how many paragraphs there were, a number of paragraphs, like at least six paragraphs in our lesson today. So those are giving thoughts, different thoughts. And so we want to be careful how we connect those and how we disconnect those. That's important to understand. It gives us clarity. In some of the newer translations, like the NLT and those kind of things, they actually separate, space it, so it shows it as a paragraph. But in our Bible, the King James or the ESV or those Bibles, it's denoted by the little pilkrow, P-I-L-K-R-O-W. So just some interesting things. Just something that I think is pretty important. We need to compare Scripture with Scripture. And one of the things that is not unique to Mennonites, Anabaptist people, it's across the board. I've heard it from a number of areas. We are given the responsibility of fruit inspectors. It's our job to go around and look at people and decide whether they're actually Christians or not. You might want to compare that scripture with Romans 14, where Paul says, "Don't judge another man's servant. To his own master he stands or falls." So if you understand the analogy of the trees that he's giving, he says a good tree and a bad tree. The good tree can have a bad apple, but it doesn't give all bad apples. The bad tree can have a good apple, but it does not give all good apples. Does that make sense? So just some things you might want to think about in understanding that lesson. Now, I want to talk this morning about joy as spirit fruit. I'd like to just share a couple of quick stories with you. I was on a Zoom call this week. A young lady, 25 years old, with her young son, was living back in by the way, a new believer, less than a year or so, I believe. Living back with her Muslim parents in Algeria because her husband was put in prison. Some of you at prayer meeting might remember praying. I think I gave the name Mudin, or his actual name is Mureed, M-U-R-E-E-D. He was a very prominent Muslim scholar and teacher that did a lot of ministry across social media for Islam. And he was converted, became a Christian, and he had to get away from all of that and go to another country. And I'm not sure which country he ended up going to. I think it might have been Algeria. But he was arrested there on a trumped up charge and put in prison. It's because of him leaving Islam, really. We had prayed. He was given a 2-year prison sentence. We had prayed, and just a few weeks ago, he was released after only 5-6 months. And he was in, he had gone to Tunisia, neighboring country, and his wife had gone there as well. And no, not. She was still in Algeria. He had gone there for privacy purposes. And he began to feel the call that he needed to go and be with his family, his wife and his child. He came to the border. He crossed the border. No incident crossing the border. He got about an hour into the country, and all of a sudden he was surrounded with police. And he went back to prison. His wife was on a Zoom call this week. 25 years old, little child. She's living in her Muslim parents' home, where her father is dead set against her Christianity. And what do you think I saw on her face? Joy. Joy. She said, I am not giving up my faith. Is it hard? Absolutely it's hard. She's very, I'm not sure exactly how she managed to be on the Zoom call, because she is very limited and very watched. But there was joy there. Where does that come from? We're going to see some scriptures today that talk about some of that. I want to preface this by saying that I am not preaching at you. I'm talking to me. I've experienced some overwhelming joy in my life at times. A number of years ago, I was going through a difficult time, and I was really seeking the Lord. And one morning I woke up, and I can't explain it, but it was like the sky was 10 times brighter and bluer and clearer than normal. I had this just euphemistic feeling. It was like the world was incredible. And I was like, whoa. And I went through the whole day, and it was just wow. And I started asking myself, is this what God actually wants for me, for His child, on a daily basis? Now, the next day, it was not there. But I've often pondered on that, and I've had some other experiences that are somewhat similar to that, where it lasted a bit longer, several months actually. But I've wondered, is that what God desires for His children? Where we are so in tune with Him and so in His presence that everything changes. Everything's new. Everything's bright. Everything is glorious. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. So we're going to do some exploring this morning. So there's a couple interesting scriptures over in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 5. We have the story of the children of Israel going to battle against the Philistines. And they got this bright idea that, you know what, if we bring the ark out here, we're going to win this battle. Because it's the presence of God, right? Well, there's just one problem if you think about it. The presence of God belonged in the most holy place. It didn't belong out there in front of the battle. The presence of God went with them when they were in His will, and that happened over and over and over in their history. But not this time. But it's interesting, they had that, they called for the ark, and it was brought. And when the ark arrived there, they just lost it. They shouted so loud that the earth reverberated. And the Philistines said, "Oh, dude, we've got to fight or we're going to die." And they fought and they killed Saul and Jonathan. And the Philistines won the battle. But there was something that happened there. There was so much joy on the part of the children of Israel because the presence of God had come into the camp. Even though they were disregarding God's laws, even though they were walking away from God, worshiping idols, there was joy, overwhelming joy. And what was the reason, what was the cause of the joy? The presence of God. In 1 Kings chapter 1, we have an interesting story as well. Adonijah, David's son, had decided he was going to be king. And he started setting up his kingdom. And David was old, he was in bed, he was about to die. And Bathsheba and some others came in and said, "David, I thought you promised that Solomon was going to be king. And Adonijah, he's over here setting up his kingdom." And David said, "No, no, no. Solomon is king." And so they brought Solomon out and they declared him as king. And man, the people exploded. There was so much joy expressed. And how do you think that joy was expressed? Oh, this is nice. They shouted so loud that the rock split. It was almost an earthquake. They shouted that loud for their joy. Ponder that. So let's ask ourselves these questions. What are the marks of a spirit-filled Christian? If you're out and you're saying, you know, you're looking at your own life, you're saying, "How do I know if I'm spirit-filled? Do I have the gift of healing? Do I have the gift of tongues? Do I have, what spiritual gift do I have?" Is that how you know if you're spirit-filled? I'd like to suggest something to you. I'd like to suggest that spirit-filled is spirit-fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Looking at myself, what's going on in my life with love, joy, peace. Jesus said the commandment, the first and second commandment, is love. So do I just buck up and say, well, I'm going to love these people? They've been mean to me. They've talked bad about me. They've done all kinds of mean stuff to me. But I'm going to love them. Who wants to testify that that works? It don't work. You can't do it. You might be able to get by for a day or something. You can't do it. Unless you are filled with the Spirit of God, there's going to be revenge, there's going to be anger, there's going to be frustration, there's going to be all the works of the flesh going on inside of you, right? Am I right? Yeah, we know that's how it works. So the fruit of the Spirit is something that we all want. We all want, we long for this, we desire this. How much we desire for it depends what the result is. We all want unconditional love. We all want to live in joy. We don't want to live in frustration. We don't want to live under the circumstances. We don't want to live with all of that hanging over our heads and controlling our lives. We want to live in peace. We want rest. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. Whoa, I forgot to turn that back on. Craig, you want to hit the AV mute? There we go. Thank you. What fruit does my life produce? Okay, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, right? So if I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm not doing all this anger and lust and all of that stuff that Paul talks about that are the works of the flesh. And if I'm a bad tree, I'm not living in Christ. I'm not filled with the Spirit. I cannot produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Not going to happen. That only comes out if the tree is good. So that's what Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees. You need to be a good tree. It's not enough to try to do good things. You need to have a good root. How would my life change if I lived out of joy? Try it someday. I've talked about this whole idea of praise before, and it's involved in it. But just someday when you're feeling frustration, life is not where you want it to be, just start singing some songs about joy. We teach our kids, joy, joy, my heart is full of joy. Joy, joy, my heart is full of joy. The Savior dear is ever near. That's the reason why my heart is full of joy. Just start singing that. See what happens. See what changes in your life, how your perspective changes, how things move. Now here's a question that I need to ask myself, you need to ask yourself. Why is joy missing out of my life? Why is this not going on? Why am I just continually so discouraged and so frustrated and all of those things? Now, I want us to understand some things. In our world, folly often is considered joy. So you talk to somebody that's out drinking, out doing drugs, out doing all the the wild stuff, and they're like, man, we had such a good time. It was awesome. And they're thinking that that's actually joy. Joy is way different than that. It's not just the thing of being happy and excited. It's something where down inside of you, something is different. Something is totally different. Joy is reserved for those who live in God's presence. One of the interesting things, if you take the word joy, rejoice, rejoicing, joyful, all those words, look them up. One of the things you'll find is that the Psalms talk more about that than any other book of the Bible. Why do you think that is? You think it's because David had such a silver spoon in his mouth and everything was just so awesome for him? Wait a minute. Let's see. 14 years he was in the wilderness running from Saul. 1 year or so he lived under the burden of sin. He lived with the experience that I shared with you of his sons trying to take the kingdom. Absalom tried to take it. Adonijah tried to take it. He lived with a lot of family hurt, family pain. How's come David talks so much about joy, and he seems to have an answer where joy is? So here's what he says. God, you're going to show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. You know what? The experiences that I've had of joy have come when I've spent extended time in the presence of God. Now that gets a little hard. You say, well, I'm too busy. I don't have time. I got too much going on. Really? You're telling me that your life, your activities are more important to you than joy? They're more important than the fruit of the Spirit that God wants coming out of your life? And he talks about, you know what? Joy isn't necessarily going to be there every moment. He's talking about God. He says his anger endures for a moment, but his favor is life. So weeping might endure for a little time, for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There's a time coming where joy is there. Joy and worship are so connected. Again, Psalm 43. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Let your light and your truth bring me where I need to be. I will go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Just overwhelming. Have you ever been overwhelmed with the presence of God? Where you just sat and wept and worshiped and said, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Just come into his presence, my exceeding joy. Yes, upon the harp I'll praise you, O God, my God. And then he asked himself this question, so why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Why are you so troubled? Why is everything just, There's joy out there. It's there. Where is it? In the presence of God. It's involved in worship. and praise. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you've broken may rejoice. This is when David was repenting for his sin. He said, God, you've broken my bones. God, let me hear joy and gladness. He knew what it was. He wanted to know it again. He wanted to hear it again. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. The joy of your salvation. You know what? We're going to look at some more verses related to this. But salvation is intended to be a joy. That's God's intention. David realized that. He says, God, just bring it. I know what it is, God, your joy of your salvation. Remember when he faced Goliath? You think he had joy when God gave him that victory? Absolutely. His salvation, he delivered the children of Israel. That was salvation for them. David says, I want that joy back. Be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all that are upright in heart. I'm just going to do something here. I want everybody that considers himself upright in heart to shout hallelujah with me. Right? One, two, three. Hallelujah! Yeah, thank you. Good job. Serve the Lord with gladness. That word gladness is joy. Awesome. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know why? You know why there's not more people around us that are Christians? We're not serving the Lord with joy. You ever have a salesman come around and try to sell you something that you could tell they didn't even like? Don't usually work. not too many of them guys out there. Usually they're like, oh, this is it, man. You got to have it. That's what joy does for our message. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Let's sing that. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing. What did that do for you? Joy and worship work together. All right, already had that. Sorry about that. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Let's do this chorus too and do the clap with it, okay? You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you and your joy. They'll clap their hands, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Trees of the field shall clap their hands. Trees of the field shall clap their hands. As we go out with joy. Let's do it again. See if we can do it better. You shall go out with joy and be led forth. And the hills shall break forth.
before you, there'll be shouts of joy. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Trees of the field will clap their hands. Trees of the field will clap their hands as we go out with joy.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called good trees, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Joy and worship are connected. I'd like you to just ask yourself this question. When I worshiped in those songs, did I feel differently than I did before? And how much can I actually get involved in worship and change my life? Allow God's joy to overtake me. Salvation is the cause for joy. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. It's interesting, when the angels appeared to the shepherds in Luke to give them the message of Jesus' birth, we bring you good tidings of great joy. Great joy. The presence of Jesus Christ coming to earth was intended by heaven to produce overflowing joy. That's still true today. Still true today. And I have had a number of experiences being in connection with people that have come from darkness to light, that have come out of idol worship, that have come out of demon worship, that have come out of all kinds of things into salvation, and their testimony is a testimony of joy. It's so encouraging, so blessed to be with those people and worship with them. And just feel that spirit of joy. Whoop, missed one. Joy is a result of Holy Spirit filling. Joy is not something that you can drum up. It is not something that you can say, I'm going to have joy today. Joy only comes through God and His Spirit. Look what happened with the disciples, the apostles. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They're directly connected. Filled with joy, filled with the Holy Ghost. They're there. In Romans 14, Paul tells us, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not all these fruit inspection things that we get all wrapped up in. What is it? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. Is that how I see it? Maybe I need to do some adjusting how I see things, what I think about things. That's what God tells us. His kingdom is about righteousness and joy and peace. Two fruits of the Spirit are spoken there. Joy and peace. Love is there, it's just hidden. And then we have Galatians, obviously, where the title of the message comes from, Joy is Spirit Fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Contrast. Our lesson today was a lesson of contrast. Jesus used contrast often. Paul used contrast often. And one of the contrasts Paul uses is, look, here's the life of the flesh. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. The life of the flesh is works. The life of the Spirit is fruit. That's important for us. Joy rises above circumstances. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy is not based on happenings. Joy is based on relationship. My relationship with God. That's what joy is based on. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with circumstances. It has nothing to do with all the stuff around me. My relationship with God is where joy comes into my heart. So, David says, those that sow in tears are going to reap in joy. Yeah, things might be tough. You might be burdened. You might have some things going on, but there's going to be a reaping time that's going to be in joy. Habakkuk, the last verses of Habakkuk always fascinate me. Habakkuk, he was writing to the children of Israel, and he says, you know what? You guys live in these beautiful houses. You're all about your own stuff, but the temple of God's in disrepair. You guys need to shape up and get to work. And they're like arguing with him, whatever. But Habakkuk ends up his prophecy with these ideas. He says, even though the fig tree doesn't blossom, even though there's no grapes on the vine, even though there's no cattle in the stall, even though there's nothing, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see how I say it's not about happenings, it's about relationship. Habakkuk says, you know what? All these happenings that cause so many frustrations and so many difficulties in people's lives. No. I'm going to have joy. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. I'm going to have joy in the God of my salvation. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm living. That's where I'm resting. That's where I'm moving. That's what's going on in my life. Paul even talks about these Christians. He said, you had compassion of me when I was in prison. He said, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. As believers across our world today, many places they lose everything. Everything. Doesn't matter how rich they are. Doesn't matter what they own. They lose it all as believers. And you know what I see when I see those people? I have never heard one of them moan and groan about what they used to have. It's always about the joy that they have in Christ. Paul says, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Why? You know that inside of you, you have a better and an enduring substance. These substances can be taken away, but inside can't be taken away. And so you take it joyfully. Even when you lose everything, You can express joy. I met a pastor friend in Lebanon a few years ago. He had had a large bus manufacturing company in Syria. Large. He had some other businesses as well. They were prospering, doing just awesome. And the war came. And all of a sudden, everything he had was in a pile of rubble. You know what I saw in his face and heard in his heart? Joy. 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 Not woe is me. Joy. It's interesting to me that John, the apostle of love, so love, joy, peace. John's the apostle of love. That's how he's known. He talks about love a lot. Here's what he says. I wrote these things to you that your joy might be full. Let me just throw out something here for you. If you're reading the scriptures and communicating with God, and joy isn't the result, you need to go back and look again. You know what the definition of insanity is? To do the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results. If we're not getting joy out of our relationship with God, out of His Word, we're not getting what He wants. And we better stop doing what we're doing and start doing what He wants us to do. I'm not saying quit reading the Bible. Don't start throwing stones at me and telling me I'm a false prophet. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying, look, we need to be honest. We need to be real. We need to look at our lives and say, well, is this what's happening? Is joy coming out? Is it motivating me? Is it moving me? When I come into the presence of God and when I hear His Word. Now, Jesus lives in joy. Here's what He told His disciples. I've spoken these things to you. This is Jesus' words. I've given you my word. That's what John is saying. I've wrote these things to you. I've given you the word of God so that your joy. And here's what Jesus says. I have spoken these words to you so that my joy might remain in you. Whose joy? His joy. Fruit of the Spirit. His joy might remain in us. Abide, continues, stay there. And that your joy might be full. Might overflow. That's what He's talking about. Jesus is joy. My joy in you. And then your joy overflows to those around. Jesus, when He was facing the cross, it says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross? You know what? Jesus didn't go to the cross with frustration, with anger, with all the things that we face in our lives when circumstances are difficult. He went to the cross with joy. He was looking for you and I to experience the joy of His salvation. That's what He was longing for. That's what He was wanting. And I find it fascinating that Jude ends his little book, little letter there with these words, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding joy." He's not talking about our joy. He's talking about his joy. The joy that he is going to have, Jesus is going to have, when he presents us to his Father faultless. If that doesn't fire you up, you must be a dry piece of wood. To present me faultless? Are you kidding me? I know my faults. A lot of them. Probably a lot of them I don't. But I know a lot of them, and I'm not faultless. In him, I'm faultless. And he's going to be able to present me faultless before the Father with exceeding joy. Do you know what? Jesus is happy to be our brother. He loves the idea of being our brother. As human beings bought with the blood of Christ. Now, here's some joy blockers. If you're saying, "Man, I want joy, but boy, something's standing in the way." Here's some things that block joy. Number one is seeking joy rather than God. You can go pushing and shoving and grinding and whatever you walk on a bed of spikes, whatever you want to do. You are not going to find joy by seeking joy. You'll find joy by seeking God. So be careful what you seek for. Be careful what you look for. You will find joy in his presence. David already told us that. Here's another thing. If you're placing doing ahead of being, you are blocking joy from your life. A performance mindset never ends in joy. Now pay attention. I did not say you be and don't do. That's not what I'm saying. I said place it ahead. We have the old saying, the cart before the horse, right? What happens if you put the cart before the horse? You've got a cart, you've got a horse. Why can't it go? Because it's in the wrong order. That's the way with being and doing. If you're trying to become something by doing, stop it. Just stop it. You have to be. That's what Jesus was talking about, the trees. You have to be a good tree to do good fruit. You have to be that. And that's what this whole thing is about. Being filled with the Spirit. Being in relationship with God. Yes, after you're in that relationship, then you do things. Yes, absolutely you do things. But it's not the doing that gets you there. Does that make sense? The third thing that blocks you if you're walking after the flesh. So Paul told Romans, don't walk after the flesh, walk after the Spirit. If you walk after the Spirit, you'll have life in Christ Jesus. You'll have love, joy, peace. If you walk in the Spirit. But if you're walking in the flesh, if your life is your own, if you're calling the shots, if you're living your life, if you're living day by day without asking God what he wants you to do, and you think just showing up on church on Sunday means following God, no, sorry, you're wrong. Walking in the Spirit means we are praying. Our thought is continually, "Lord, show me the way. Lord, help me to make the right choices. Lord, guide me in this. What do you want me to do? And then paying attention and listening to that. Now, some of you that have been here a while remember I did a series back in the day of Joy Robbers. And I gave these three, did three messages on joy robbers are people, thoughts, and circumstances. So be careful. Those things can rob your joy. Don't let them. Don't let them. We saw all those in our scriptures that we looked at today. Paul had those that were running after him, telling everybody how bad of a guy Paul was, and just trashing him wherever he went. He still had joy. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Paul, murdered a lot of people. You think those thoughts ever came to his mind after he got saved, after he met Jesus? What does he say about those thoughts that would come to his mind? He says, forgetting those things that are behind, leaving, getting away from those things, and reaching out to what's in front of me, I'm pressing for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he lived with joy. So all of these things are important for us. Stand with me. We're going to do one more shout to the Lord. Shout for joy, okay? If you're upright in heart, 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah! Yes. Thank you. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that through Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, we can have fullness of joy. And Lord, at your right hand, there beside you in your very presence is fullness of joy and treasures and pleasures forevermore. Oh God, help us to press into that relationship. Father, that you might fill our hearts with your joy, and that joy might radiate to our world around us, that many, many more might come to know that joy. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.